Well, thank you for that special music. That was quite beautiful. I'm going to speak to you today about the Proverbs 31 woman. That is going to be our text for today. So if you want to go ahead and find yourself in Proverbs 31, what we're going to do today is look at that series of scriptures. It goes through 31:10 through 31:31, and we're going to break it down. We are going to see what other types of, I'm going to call, meanings we can get out of it, what type of wisdom we can get out of it. So let's start. One thing we know and can understand about the book of Proverbs itself is it is an organized poem. It is actually a complete work that goes from chapter 1 to chapter 31. It tends to tell a story about a young man who is being guided to find the perfect wife, that perfect wife being Lady Wisdom herself. Interesting way that the virtuous wife scriptures, Proverbs 31:10 through 31, are written. First off, they're called acrostic. It is an acrostic, meaning the verses are alphabetical to the Hebrew language. It starts with the Alpha, the Bet, then it moves on. So each of these verses actually represents a letter in the Hebrew alphabet in order. So that's kind of interesting. When you look at the poem, it's kind of like a butterfly. Because it's balanced on each side and then has this one verse in the middle that is, according to the commentators, it's called a seam. You know, like a seam in a book, you know, that's in the middle. So it folds. And so there's kind of equal sides, and that's an interesting concept in it. It talks about what she does and then how she does it somewhat. One thing we find out in this seam is that, and this is going to be hard for most people to agree with. Proverbs 31, the virtuous wife, it's not about the wife. And it's not meant for you ladies to emulate and be this perfect woman. Because when you break it down, it's virtually impossible for you ladies to do what this is. What I suggest, and which blends very well with Mr. Star Wars in his message, is I'm calling this the Proverbs 31 church. It is my belief after studying this that it not only talks about general good habits that a wife can have, but also all of these attributes of this wife are attributes of the church in which Jesus Christ himself is going to marry. So let's get into it and see how we can get a little bit more value out of this poem that is in Scripture. So here's something interesting. I told you it's like a butterfly. So we can look at verse 10. Okay. Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies? Well, we're talking about the high value of a good wife. Now, completely at the tail end of the set of scriptures in verse 31, it talks about the high value of her wife. It's like, let's give her praise. The high wife, the high value wife gets praised. But it moves on. You have verses 11 and 12 that talks about how the husband is benefited by the wife. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. Well, the The alternative on the tail end is in verses 28 and 29, where her husband rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also praises her. So we're seeing this feature that it's telling us the story, the words in the first section, and it's following up and giving us a little bit more detail in the second. So verses 13 through 19, it is talking about she's on the spindle and the distaff. She's putting together woolen. She's putting together clothing. It says in verse 14, she is like the merchant ship. She brings food from afar. But then you look in verse 27, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she's busy and constantly working, taking care of business, taking care of her family. Verse 20, this one is interesting. She extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches her hands out to the needy. But then in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. So with her hands and her mouth, she is doing these wonderful things for people. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. But then verse 25, it talks about her 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She rejoices the time to come. So it's talking about she makes the clothing and it is good clothing. So we wind up, let's see, children clothed in scarlet, 21, we did that. Coverings for her bed, 22. She makes tapestries for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. And when you think of tapestry, think of a really fine comforter that you may put on your bed that's embroidered and has really nice edges and seams and everything. So it's really fine clothing. She does that in verse 22, but then in verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. So not only is she providing for her household, but she is providing it to the public as well. And then we get to the seam that we are talking about. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. The husband, again, is the center of this whole poem, and he is the focus of this poem. She is doing these things for the benefit of the husband. We as the church, we do things for the benefit of Jesus Christ and the Father, Christ who will someday be that husband of the church. It's a declaration that the husband is highly esteemed and regarded the gate. But when you read it in the context of the poem, it seems somewhat out of place. But it actually establishes the central meaning, the goal, the objective of what this is about. We tend to think that the original intended audience might have been young woman, what a young woman should be, how she should grow up, and how she should tend her affairs. But actually, when you look at the book of Proverbs, it's telling a story to the young man. Don't go after, you know, the harlotress woman. Don't go after the loose women. Look for Lady Wisdom. That's what you see in chapter 9 of Proverbs, talking about Lady Wisdom. The book everywhere just addresses young man, my son, and not the young woman. It expounds in great details the evils of going after a wrong type of woman. Now, the Zondervan NIV Study Bible says that the poem, besides offering counsel on the kind of wife a young man ought to seek, may be intended in a subtle way to advise the young man again to marry Lady Wisdom And again, that fits with the theme of Proverbs. We can look at Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 9. Let's do that. We're not going to deviate too far from the book of Proverbs, so this is going to be an easy page-turning day. Proverbs 9, verse 1, "Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has set out her maidens. She cries out from the highest place of the city, 'Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding,' she says to him, 'Come, eat my bread and drink the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding.'" Could we imagine the church giving that kind of message? I'm going to say yes. That is what we preach. You know, do away with your sins. Repent. Don't go the way of foolishness. The Expositor's Bible Commentary says more about how the woman here symbolizes wisdom. The theme of the poem, the wife of noble character, captures the ideals of wisdom that have actually filled this book. When we look at the Proverbs 31 woman, she is doing what that Lady Wisdom is doing. Now, what starts getting goosebumps for me is when I compare this Proverbs 31 woman to a book in Psalms. This is crazy. This is really crazy. So Psalms 111, and maybe you do the little flippy-do with your Bible and then have Psalms 111 and Proverbs 31, because we're going to be flipping back and forth on it, okay? So Psalm 111. We sang a song that had a hallelujah in it today. The psalm begins, "Praise the Lord." That word praise is hallelujah. Hallelujah the Lord. But we see Proverbs 31:31 says, I'll back up. "But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised." Praised, that word is hallelujah. "Give her the truth of her hands and let her own works praise her in her gates." Hallelujah. So there's a relationship between the man, God the Father, God, in Psalm 111, and now the woman in Proverbs 31. But it gets a little bit deeper than that. Psalms 111, verse 2, "The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in him." Well, this relates to verse 13, where she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like a merchant ship. It speaks of her works. Speaks of her works. Psalm 111:3, "His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever." That word, honorable, is the Hebrew word hadar, hadar, majestic. And Proverbs 31:25, "Strength and honor are her clothing." Honor, hadar, it's the same word that is being attributed to God. Psalms 111:4, it talks about compassion. "He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Proverbs 31:26, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and with her tongue is the law of kindness." It keeps on going. 111:5, "He has given food to those who fear him. He will be ever mindful of his covenant." Well, we see in a few verses here, verse 15 in Proverbs 31, "She rises up while it's yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her servants." So not only is she worried about her household, she's worried about her servants. Well, that is exactly what God does with the church. He worries about the household of God and those who are serving him. And that's what the church does here. We worry about those who are serving God. We have ministers that are serving God. We worry about them. We worry about the brethren. Two more. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 31:30. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. So again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Proverbs 31 woman, lady wisdom, is honored. Additionally, in Psalms 111, it says that the Lord's praise will endure. And then in Proverbs 31:31, her works are praised for what she does. Another one of the dominant themes throughout this poem is the woman's boundless energy. That is just crazy. Boundless energy. I mean, there are women in the church that represent this Proverbs 31 woman. They have lived it for years and years and years, and they have done many of the things. But it's hard to believe that any one person can do everything that is listed here. The woman is described not only as a warrior, but she's a merchant ship that brings produce and merchandise to port, namely her home. She brings it to where it belongs, where it is needed, where it takes care of her servants, where it takes care of her people. She is also active in commercial endeavors, not to speak of philanthropy, you know, having charitable deeds being done. Her actions are praised, but also her qualities of mind and attitude. So what she does is praised, and what she thinks and how she does it is praised. She is fearless about the world. She has no fear of night. The woman has nothing to do with laziness. And the emphasis at the end of the poem, as one might expect, is not on beauty or charm, but on the woman's fear of the Lord, the internal makeup of what makes her who she is, that personality, that character. And I tend to believe that she is the human embodiment of God's wisdom, flesh and blood, personification of the woman of wisdom. Well, that is what the church is supposed to be, isn't it? We're supposed to be that blood, flesh and blood personification of Jesus Christ, right? So expositors and other commentaries also point out that she is a woman of valor. Now, I think this is a really interesting comment. We can see this notion of valor used in Judges, speaking about mighty men of valor. So she is a mighty woman of valor. And when we look at, now we'll start reviewing a little bit of the Psalms 31. Again, I want to go through it. I want to kind of beat this up a couple different times. Verse 10 points out to such a rarity of a find of a virtuous woman and her supreme value. Again, treasured both as a good wife and as wisdom. But there is a Hebrew word that is translated virtuous in verse 10. I mean, mine has a little number 2 by it. Who can find a, you know, subscript 2, virtuous wife? Virtuous wife, the word has a sense of strength. And it is translated again in verse 3 of the same chapter up above. It is also rendered well in verse 29. So you can look in 29, it says, many daughters have done well. Well, again, we're thinking of many daughters have done virtuous and strong and of supreme value. Many of her daughters have done well and are of supreme value. I'm adding that to the context of the thought. So verse 11, here's an odd one. Our English is okay. The heart of her husband satisfies and trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. I said this was an acrostic poem that was alphabetical. Well, the author thought it would be really good to emphasize that it is acrostic. So when you look at it in the Hebrew language, this is crazy. It has a concentration of the letter beh. So in Hebrew, it is betaba le ba la wezalo lo yashar. So there's a lot of B's in there to make you think that B, B, B. So the next one is obviously going to be the next letter. And again, to get them, the reader in Hebrew, accustomed to the alphabetical nature of it. Verses 13 and 19, it mentions the woman's textile work. And this is not to say that every woman should become a seamstress, that she should make all her own clothes and start a clothing business. It does not mean that. It makes a point that she is productive in the use of her talents. That's what we have to do in the church, individually and communally, together. We have to do things in a good, productive way and use our talents. Now, I know at the home office, there's got to be geniuses that work at that home office, because some of the people are incredible. The technology people, the writers, the thought that goes through. And again, they're looking at the welfare of all of us for the benefit of her future husband, Jesus Christ. All right, so verse 15. Let's look at verse 15. She also rises while it's night and provides food for her household. It doesn't mean that you have to get up every morning, ladies, and do everything. But I think of the way the church functions. It starts on a daily basis, home office, 9 a.m. They start rolling in 8:30, 9 o'clock, sometimes earlier. It's a worldwide work. I know there are people that are dealing with Angola, for instance. Well, they're way hours ahead, so he's having phone calls at 2 in the morning. So there's things that are going on 24 hours a day in this church. And we have to be, verse 15. Yeah, in the preparation of the morning meal. What's implying is that care is being taken for that service. And what about buying the field in verse 16? That's kind of interesting. She considers a field and buys it, and from her profits she plants a vineyard. Well, that is simply, and follow me here, it's about practical financial stewardship. There's a lot written on stewardship in the Bible and being a good steward. You can look at the parable of talents, where the person who was a better steward was rewarded with more. The one who didn't produce anything was called cursed, and his stuff was taken away. So we practice financial stewardship and generosity in the church. And again, it doesn't mean that ladies are supposed to go out and buy a field and start planting. But you know what? It's not a bad thing that the church goes out and buys another building so we can have fruit in our congregations. There's nothing wrong with that. And that is perfectly fine. What we see here is the husband trusts his wife enough to allow her to spend how she wants to spend. Well, I know there's people at the home office that are doing accounting and stuff. They're praying to God. They're getting inspiration by God. But in the end, decisions to spend that money and how it's being spent is being done by men and ladies in the church. And I say ladies to be fair, because there are a number of ladies that are working in church administration and such, and they are a big, big help. So just don't think it's a male-dominated thing. We're called a woman. We're called a virtuous woman. We're called a lady wisdom. So guys, you got to suck up and realize that it's not all male-dominated in this world. Verse 17 shows the responsible woman keeping herself fit so she continued doing her work and serving her family. Well, that's exactly what the church tries to do to keep us financially healthy, keep our messages clear and concise, and keep our technology up to date. It's all about doing a work and serving. But once she has succeeded in providing for her family, she's able to provide for others. So this is where the philanthropy comes in, the good work projects that get done, the bore wells that get taken care of. There's a lot that gets given by the church. There's people that have needs. We got to take care of those needs for some of these people. Verse 21 shows a woman not fearing those of her household when it's cold. She has clothed them in scarlet. The Hebrew word is shanen, and it denotes costly garments. Well, there's nothing better than being clothed in glory of God. That is the ultimate scarlet clothing I could ever wear, that glory of God that I could wear and you could wear yourselves. Verse 25, it talks about she shall rejoice in the time to come, meaning she's more likely that she can laugh at the days to come, as the NIV will say it. She is armed with strength and honor, and she can face whatever future is being thrown at her. You know, years and years ago, we learned the end of the story. We read the book. We know how it ends. And even death itself, most of us don't even fear. And verse 30 states that charm and beauty are fleeting, but the real enduring praise is the woman who fears the Lord. So we're almost out of time. Let me wind this up here real quick. The New American Century Commentary summarizes Proverbs 31 this way. A good wife described here has every virtue wisdom can offer. She is diligent, has a keen sense for business matters, is compassionate, prepared for the future, a good teacher, dedicated to her family, and above all else possesses a primary characteristic of biblical wisdom. So we can see that this book, this particular poem, Proverbs 31, it has some depth to it. It has some literary styles in it. It has some literary relationships with other scriptures, as we, you know, that happens a lot of times in the Bible. And it is actually the capstone of the whole book of Proverbs, which is talking to a young man, telling that young man the type of wife, Lady Wisdom, that he should seek. And in the end, we're going to see that Jesus Christ does have that bride that he marries. And God help us that we are part of that.